Well, hi everyone. Much love and blessings. Lots and lots of amazing shifts have been happening since 11/11. I'm very, very happy to be here today and answer all your questions. So if you're listening to this live and you haven't answered a question, then feel free to put your question in the magical little box wherever you're listening to it. And if anyone wants to share with us today live on the phone, then we'd love to hear from you as well. And it's just an amazing time, and I can see Taylor's just come on the call. How are you doing, Taylor?
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Yay. Did you enjoy 11/11? What was your experience? Why don't you just kick us off with the latest updates?
Yeah, I had absolutely zero experience. It was a non-event. Non-event here.
All right.
But, you know, I'm finding that every day is at 11/11. I mean, to me, I'm realizing that these supposed events that we're waiting for in time, marked by this or that or the other thing, are usually anticlimactic, and it's everything in between those times, which is interesting. So, yeah, I just think it's really kind of an everyday sort of thing now, that this idea of waiting for these particular shift points, I think is kind of, I'm finding energetically that's really not the case as much as it is each day is a gigantic opening and shift point. And so that's really the new reality that I'm realizing, because when I was gearing up for this 11/11, and then it came and I realized, well, hold on a minute, you know, well, how come this, I'm not really, what's really going on here? So that's the exciting thing I'm discovering, is that it's all wonderful.
Yes, that's a good point. I mean, to be quite honest, I had a beautiful time on the 11th. I spent most time in nature. But it was Tuesday that I had the most remarkable day, and it was a very, very powerful, profound day for me. And there's no particular date connected to that that I'm aware of on the 15th. But, yeah, I agree with you. And a lot of the time, you know, people have created these dates. And apparently 2012 was never even a big deal. In the Mayan astrology, it used to be something like 2047 or something like this. But it was all brought back, and then everyone's jumped on the bandwagon. So whether or not 2012 is actually astrologically a marvelous date or not is questionable, and there's a lot of research on this. But if anyone is focusing on something, if you've got a large numbers of people believing something and focusing on something, then they create that as the reality, just purely because of the power of consciousness. So I think it's
my sense is that's what's happening. Like everything is shifting. It's kind of like you have these projections into the future of this or that other thing, but just by virtue of the way collective consciousness is coming together on so many fronts that aren't even organized around these dates, makes everything shift to the point where those dates are kind of up for grabs. Like, you know, whatever the future was that to be determined at that point, you know, just by having the people that are coming together in the ways they are changing everything anyway. So it really does come down to if it's going to be a magical day that you're organizing around, then why not just have that be every day?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want a good excuse, like, wow, this is 11/11, I'm going to, like, really do, like, the best things ever, make all these goals, like, be in meditation, be out in nature, you know, just, wow, this is so exciting. You know, I've just gotten to where, like, well, I'm just going to have every day be like that. Because in truth, at the time we're at right now, it really feels to me that that is what's so. And everything else is really everything else is questionable. You know, everything's questionable, really. But anyways, since everything's questionable, why not create that, you know?
Yeah. And I also feel that ultimately we need to create our own dates. We need to create our own dates for our personal transformation and not have any other people or any events that are advertised be the thing that we're working towards. Have create it ourselves. So, you know,
yeah.
Anyone listening to this can choose that, you know, within a month or, you know, 6 months or 2 months or whatever it is, or by your next birthday or by whenever, you can have a massive transformation, and you will. So I think the main thing to take from this is that it's in our own hands how fast we change ourselves and the degree to which we have transformations and the power of everything. Completely up to us, and it's not in anyone else's hands, and it's not in the astrology, and it's not something outside of ourselves. We're the ones in charge of our destiny, 100%. Wouldn't you agree, Uncle Nicholas?
I would, brother. I would indeed.
Aloha,
yeah.
Nick.
Aloha, aloha, aloha. Yeah, I was posting some stuff today on the social go and also on my Facebook, and there's just such tremendous energies coming through and such tremendous opportunities, and we really want to be doing everything we can just to catch up and ride our high. And it's a full-time occupation, and I think it's, you know, just dawning. It becomes, I already live an extraordinary life, but it's like, even no matter what you're doing, I was just reflecting on this yesterday when Mike and I were doing some recording for one of the calls, and you know, like, you reflect on all the things you've done and achieved and adventures and amazing things and that, and it doesn't matter what you've done and how amazing your life is, you still plateau. You go to a plateau. And then that becomes your level, and, you know, it becomes, that's your norm. And it might be an extraordinary level of reality that almost everyone in the world doesn't experience and may never achieve. But you, it's still, you know, base camp, and it's just a plateau. So it's just, it's always calling you to go to the next level. And you have to... you know, like, in the old days, it was like, you know, it was enough to, like, train a couple of times a week or something, or three times a week to, you know, achieve a certain level of performance. But once you get up there, it's like, no, it's a full-time thing. And that's the joy of it. It's a way of being, and that way of being, you know, really begins to pour into you more and more and more and take you over more and more and more. And that's all you wanna be. And as the old paradigm dissolves in you, the old world dissolves in you, and the values and belief systems and the way you oriented yourself in this old paradigm, the new possibilities open up inside of you in terms of consciousness and imagination and sensing possibility, and then that translates into feelings and virtues and abilities, and then, you know, that's when things really, really, really start to get exciting. But when there's just, you know, a few of us doing it, we need a significant number, that, you know, this 100th monkey thing, we need a certain critical mass of consciousness existing on a very, very, very high level of being, grounded in the world, absolutely grounded in the world, and demonstrating that. And when we've got that critical mass, then the whole thing will shift in an extraordinary way. And that's where we live, and where superheroes live. And it's kind of like, yeah, we need more of us to join that party, and then that gives the collective, you know, our little collective group consciousness more momentum, and that's what shifts the whole thing. The thing doesn't shift without, you know, we're the ones that make it change. It's not changing on its own, whatever we're thinking about, astrological, cosmological, cycles, ages, you know, all these things. Everything is geared all the manifestations are geared into consciousness. And so as we shift and become higher consciousness and purer consciousness and embodiments of that, demonstrated, grounded in the world through your thoughts and words and actions, your feeling states, your abilities as a human being, demonstrating it, that's what flips the whole thing. And it's a full-time occupation. It's just what we do.
So we've got a few questions to answer for you guys. So let's just have a look here. Brett from Boulder is wanting to give us the update on his sharing with the person who was involved in his brother's car crash. His brother died in a car crash, and the person involved with that. I think he's forgiven him, and we're going to get the update today. So this is very exciting news. So, Brett, if you're on the call on the phone, can you press star 2? And I'd love to hear from you. I'm sure we'd all love to hear from you. And if you're on the internet, then just type in whatever it is in the box. But we're definitely very excited to hear your latest story, experiences on that. And we've got a lot of questions here, so let's have a look at one from... So let's say one about soul consciousness to get us started, because we all love soul consciousness. So this is from Sebastian in Auckland, New Zealand. Could you please give me some advice on the best way to stay in soul consciousness and connection with the great divine through certainty and love while doing day-to-day stuff or being at work? I believe such a state can be the way of being, and it does work well for me when being in nature or with friends. However, I hope at one stage to stay in connection all the time. I know Nick used to carry a rock at one stage. You two employed bells around the neck at other physical or mental tricks that you can think of. Lots of love and appreciation, blessings, and etc. Lots of love, Sebastian. So, being soul conscious and the higher consciousness whilst at work, who wants to take it away?
Yeah, well, I just say the breath. The thing is, it's the morning and evening practice that's the main thing, and having genuine experiences in that, powerful spiritual experiences, and then stopping. Just having little breaks every hour, like we say, we call it the three-breath life transformation system, where you just stop and take your breaths and get connected again. The more you practice outside of the work situation, the easier it is to reconnect in the work environment. And you probably won't be able to experience the deep levels of peace and sublime experiences. But the thing is your faith, what in Sanskrit they call nischay, that's the thing that holds you in. You've got to live with tremendous faith, because the certainty of your spiritual heritage, you being a child of God, so to speak, you want to have that certainty despite all of the manifestations of what's going on, whether you're available, you can access soul consciousness when you're at work, or you're in extreme addiction patterns or something and caught in, some hopeless situation, with drugs or overeating or whatever it is, you still have to have the faith, the certainty of knowing who you are. And that's what anchors you in. And then the work that you do, the practice that you do morning and night, that will gather momentum. And it doesn't necessarily feel sometimes like you're making any practice, making any progress, but then you'll make a quantum shift and you'll just break through into this new level of being, because you have been practicing. You have been making effort over a certain period of time, and then suddenly, you know, like a monthly cycle or a certain cycle or a certain, you know, you've worked through a certain amount of karma, and then woof, you're shifted through. So you have to keep the faith, no matter what. Stay in the focus of the nishche, and with the breath, just breathing. And the reason why I carry the rock and you know, bowels and whatever other little tricks we've used is just to stay in remembrance, just to remember who you are, remember where your power comes from, and remember to, you know, to breathe and focus your mind in that way. And give thanks for that, despite all of the fluctuations of the way you're feeling, the way your mind is going. You know, everything fluctuates, apart from your faith. Your faith is the bedrock that should you uncover that it exists within you, like the seed knows what it is. The seed of the tree, the giant tree, the tiny seed knows what it is, even though it might take 1,000 years. To grow into, you know, who it is, what it actually is. It knows who it is all the time. It has that knowingness, so it can grow. It's the same with you. You have that knowingness. Faith, the nishche exists within the soul. The soul's like the seed, and the knowingness is the certainty of who you are. So you just have to uncover that, and do your best. Carry a rock. That'd be good.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You know, I'll just give you a few personal stories because I've quite honestly, I haven't worked all that much in other, you know, businesses. I've always worked for myself mostly, but I have definitely had jobs where I've been with other people in offices and weird situations like that and for short amounts of time. So I'll give you a couple of examples. One time I was working in this kind of science lab. And my job was to clean out these test tubes that had like various weird things in them. It was like mainly organic stuff. It wasn't like chemicals, but I had to. So I sat at this station in this funny place, cleaning these test tubes out. And I was like, look, I need to practice my spiritual practice. So I actually put this. It's so funny. I put this little pad, one of those tiny little pads that you can write on, a really small one, and I put it, you know, with the ring binders, like a metal ring binder, really the smallest one you can get. I had a piece of string around the ring, so I had it around my neck. And I had to wear this white, you know, the white science lab coat, because it was supposed to wear that sort of thing. So I'd be sitting there with cleaning these test tubes with this white coat on, with this pad around my neck, and I had a little pencil stuck in there as well. And I think it was either every 15 minutes or every half an hour, every hour, I would check how much, you know, spiritual awareness I'd had during the last hour whilst I was cleaning these test tubes, because I had time to think about things because it was pretty easy. And it was really, really powerful time, and I used it as a meditation time. So there I was, you know, doing one thing, but really my energy was on the other thing. And then every hour I'd look at the clock, every hour, and I would make myself a little note, you know, like anywhere between like 0 and 100%. So I gave myself a little mark, or I drew like a line, just like filling up the percentage. And I did that every hour. So it, for me, it was like a meditation. And that was afterwards someone else I know got the job, and they apparently did like 10 times more work than me. and they were, the person was who used to work with me was kind of commented that I used to wear this thing around my neck. They thought it was quite strange, but nonetheless I was stoked about it, and it was a good practice, and it worked very, very well. So you can do something like that, you know, if you don't mind looking a bit strange. And another thing I had, I remember working, marking English exams once, and that was like maddening work. It was 8 hours a day. It made me almost go mad, because I had to like do the same thing like again and again and again and again and again. So what I used to do was, in between each exam, and these were English foreign language exams, so they were really easy to mark. It maybe took me about, I don't know, maybe 3 minutes per exam or something like that, 5 minutes. So in between each exam, I would close my eyes and I would imagine myself in the world of light. And no, it was in between each question. So there might have been like, say, 50 questions on the exam. So I would answer the question, then I would go beyond. And then I would come back and I'd answer the next question, then I'd go beyond again. And when I did that, I had these extremely powerful experiences of being soul conscious, like more powerful than my meditations, more powerful than being in nature, totally hardcore like spiritual experiences whilst I was there marking exams. And of course other times I didn't do that and I was just marking exams and I used to get stressed out and like feel like I was going mad. But when I was going beyond, in between each question, it was absolutely blissful. So I don't know what kind of work you're doing exactly, but in between the things that you do, if you can see yourself as a spiritual being in this world of light, beyond all the details of what you're doing, just for a second, I didn't used to like have five minutes meditation, I would just go beyond for a second. Then I'd come back, and that's what I used to do. And it was really, really, really enjoyable, really fun, really, really powerful, and kept me from losing my mind and getting annoyed at sitting there in doing weird stuff. So that's something that I think anyone can do, no matter where they are or what they're doing, is just take those moments in between and go beyond, come back. And actually, some of the superheroes, I remember someone telling me that what they do is they go into the bathroom and just have a few minutes meditation in the bathroom. So I haven't done that, but that's what someone else was recommending. I think that's a pretty good idea if you've got no other option. So just take time, go for a little walk if you can, go beyond every second, you know, for a second now and again. And if you want to be super hardcore, keep a little pad and paper around your neck. And see what happens. So that'll be my little bit of advice there.
I want to add something as well. I'm sure Taylor's got something to say, but who's the question from? Is it Sebastian?
Sebastian, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's a good this superhero training, like for instance, the difference between Michael and I, and Taylor as well. We both like have different, you know, have different qualities and different strengths and represent different parts of the whole. And we're all different. And Mike is more of what you call a yogi soul. So he's been doing lots of meditation in past lives, and you know, he really resonates with being soul conscious and detached from the drama of life and stuff. Not everyone is a yogi soul, but and so one of the things that he used to cause me a bit of stress, this you know, trying to be soul conscious or whatever, you know, outside of, you know, morning and evening practice times when I was obviously, you know, not being able to do that very well. And what I realized was is that I could just get on with you know, being me in the daytime. I can definitely stop and have my little breaks, but I've done you know, I don't know, thousands of hours of meditation and, you know, done all these mad things, walking around with rocks and stuff, trying, you know, to remind myself to remember. But at the end of the day, being a superhero, it boils down to being a really, really good person and a really, really, really good version of yourself, displaying the very basic human qualities and virtues. That's the precursor to any sort of extraordinary spiritual powers, and probably way more relevant to be a kind, compassionate, caring, peaceful, tolerant, loving, forgiving, kind of individual who's selflessly devoted to helping other people, and you know, isn't greedy and masters their desires and appetites and things like that, and can work hard and stay focused and all of these things. You know, these are like basic human qualities. And the sort of the spiritual practice is like you plug into the juice, you plug into the power to recharge yourself, so that you're actually able to serve and express, you know, as a human being in a human world, these wonderful qualities. So you know, I'm just trying to say that, you know, it isn't the end of the world if you're not having profound spiritual experiences when you're at work. You know, it might just be, you know, the fact that you can, you know, give your workmates good vibes, or not be affected by, you know, negativity and a, you know, in a depressing atmosphere or an unnatural atmosphere. You can thrive in, you know, other than the you know, optimal environments. You know, these are really important qualities to, you know, to be able to demonstrate, far more relevant than, you know, sort of like trying to drift off into some spiritual connection in the middle of the afternoon, you know, trying to emulate something that you were experiencing at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, it's just not going to happen. So, you know, yeah, do your best to be soul conscious and have nistya and breathe that connection. But the most important thing is to enjoy your life and to be, you know, really good, an ever-improving version of yourself, and that's a natural consequence of spiritual practice. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, that's the path that I would most endorse, is the one of ease and joy and freedom, because that is who you are as a soul. As a soul, there is no effort, struggle, any of that. And so having all of it be enjoyable, of course, you know, it helps if you're in a job that you love, then you're already there. There's nothing to do. You're living your soul's consciousness because you are fulfilling on your soul's destiny. So that's just period. You know, you got going on if you got that heaven on. But no matter what, it comes down to, if your intention is to enjoy life and see it all, everything, whatever it is you're doing, is divine perfection, and it's all has a it's all a perfect order. There's a reason that you're in the job you're in, whatever it is, or you wouldn't be there. And when you can see it like that, not like, oh, you know, I'm in this miserable job until I get into what I really want, but rather there in each thing, there's an opportunity for joy. In each thing, there's an opportunity for experiencing whatever it is you're there for in each moment. You know, I used to have this job. I had this job once. I was a business consultant, and I would go into these big, huge corporations, and they'd hire me, which was completely ridiculous because, you know, I didn't even graduate from, you know, college or anything. I had no business being in these businesses, but they'd hire me to come in and like work with their sales forces and have them, you know, shift their whole reality of how they saw whatever they were selling, whether it was phone systems or, you know, it didn't matter. And, you know, when I'd walk into these environments, you know, people were miserable for the most case, and they had all these stories about why you could never call so-and-so and talk to them about a phone and what would happen. And it was just this whole culture of like, this is what it is to be a salesperson here, and, you know, I'm here to tell you. And that, so I would ask them, like, well, what is it like to sell a phone here? And they, of course, tell me, and they'd keep going. They'd all have their stories, and they all add it up to it's impossible, you know, pretty much, or whatever, some version of that, or like people don't really want to talk to you or whatever. And I was kind of fascinated by that. And what all I ever did in these jobs where they pay like a lot of money for me to do this was to offer them some other view. Like, look, you're going to be here 8 hours a day anyways, so why not let's come up with something that's really enjoyable. Like, let's make it up like that people actually do want to talk to you more than anything. And they want to hear what you have to say about this phone system. I mean, just for the heck of it. I mean, what do we got to lose? Because we already know everything you're doing isn't working. So, you know, we might as well just make something else up. And who cares, you know? And they were a little skeptical at first. But, you know, I did a few calls of just having a good time and enjoying myself and seeing it all as perfect. And they were really very excited about that. And it also happened to just produce results. And I really don't even know that I had it as an intention to, but just because I was having a good time and I seemed to like this phone, then just people seemed to want to participate in that. And that's, you all know, that's kind of what it is. Like, you want to be around people that are enjoying themselves, even if it's just over pretty much nothing.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, that's like what Nick is saying. And I'll tell you, there's another thing Nick said, which I find is the case, is at some point a shift occurs where you just are in joy. You just are. And sure, you can get a little shaken off just a little bit, but in each thing, you even when you get shooken off, like, whoa, what the heck is that about? You because you get so orientated towards seeing everything as, you know, you're perfect, it's all perfect, there's no accidents here, you then even seize upsets as opportunities to get even more joy, as opportunities to expand yourself even more into your soul and contribution to another. I love upsets. Like, you know, people get upset around me, and I'm like, okay, let's, you know, that's exciting. Let's go talk about this. Let's shift this into some whole other reality, you know, and I think that's really, that is what we're all being asked to do, all of us now on the planet. It, you know, people are not, you know, all these people without jobs, I mean, I've really gotten into this whole Occupy Wall Street thing because, you know, I've been talking to some people and they're like, you know, well, we can't camp out here anymore. So what we decided to do is we've just put this link up on the internet, and anyone that's having an issue that they want to bring an attention to, consciousness to, they email us. And so, like, for example, they went, all the people in Occupy Pittsburgh that, you know, can't now be in the park, there's an 87-year-old woman who was getting, you know, her house foreclosed on, it was cold, she wasn't good. So all the people just decided to move there. Let's occupy, let's bring awareness to this. It was like brilliant. I'm like, wow, that's an amazing idea. Then they started moving to like apartment building, everyone was going to get evicted, the place was, you know, foreclosed, shut down. They moved into the apartment building. And all they did was just occupy it. You know, they didn't do anything. But by bringing awareness to that and bringing like an intention for, you know, creating a whole new level of an environment and an evolution in this spot, whatever that spot is, it happened. And, you know, to me, that's pretty much what I wake up into, no matter what I'm doing or whatever's happening. And I do think there is a time where you allow yourself the freedom to be who you are, like Nick said, because who you are is that. Just naturally, is that.
You got to trust it. And one of the things that we're into is it's a very practical spirituality we're sharing with people here. There's one of the old sayings is, don't be too heavenly that you know earthly good, you know? And Taylor and her husband Jeff are two of the most down-to-earth people that I've ever met, and like super practical, like Jeff will just like, you know, he's just like a total spiritual powerhouse, and he's completely incognito. You know, he doesn't come across in any way, shape, or form as being, you know, illuminated or enlightened in any sort of like, you know, guru-like way. He's like an ordinary kind of a guy. He works out, and he'll clean your stuff, clean your car, clean this, clean that, come and help you build stuff, fix things, like extremely practical. And it's spirituality, really, it's all about solutions. You know, it's providing solutions to people's problems, to the world's problems. That's what consciousness is, doing higher consciousness, pure consciousness, spiritual consciousness, love and light and peace and truth, all of that energy has to flow in the world through our human dynamics. And so you're better off in a workplace weaving in and relating to people, meeting them where they're at, getting to know them, understanding their problems, their challenges, and all the rest of it, meeting them there, and then helping them with solutions and stuff. And when you're out of that, really powering yourself up so that you can be of, really worldly use. Mike's the same, he spends hours and hours and hours every day on most days, flipping about with computers and doing all this stuff, the superhero training, making sure the systems are perfected, so that we can help people with their lives. And that's what it's all about. So it's extremely practical. So when it's time to get your sleeves rolled up and get dirty, get in there and show up fully, 100%, as you, just as you, Sebastian. And then when you it's time for spiritual practice, step out of that and surrender, buy to that absolutely, and immerse yourself in your own divinity, which is you as well. And then, just get the balance with that. And when you get those moments just to step back from it when you're right in it and take those breaths and just, radiate the blessings in a more soulful way, then do that. But don't try and do them both at the same time if it's causing, a little difficulty for you. Trust yourself. You're supposed to be you. There's only one Sebastian. You're all individuals, and you're supposed to be glowing and thriving as you, and giving the unique gift of yourself, a very unique expression that only you can to the world. So, let that unfold through the color of your personality. Don't lose your sense of humor. A sense of humor is one of the most needed things in the world. And just, just help everyone in whatever way you can.
That's great advice. Just like practical example today, I got up early as I usually do, had a lovely meditation, and then during the meditation I had all these wonderful ideas. And I've spent the last, 6 hours or something, working on our new superhero blog that we're going to have, and there's going to be all these wonderful things happening on it. And I've been designing it all day, and it's looking really good. I'm looking at it now, actually. And it's like, as I've been doing this today, I've not been trying to have constant meditation. I've been 100% focused on creating this thing because the meditation inspired the ideas, and I'm been absorbed in art and in thinking about others and about doing the service and how it can be the best ever. And I've come up with, I don't want to be arrogant or anything, but a little bit of a masterpiece here that I'm really happy with, and I think it's going to help everyone, and you guys are going to love it. And I love doing a little bit of design work now and again because it's fun and it's creative, and I just give it my full focus, and I'm 100% on the mission. So I think it's important when we're doing stuff, especially if we love what we do, to just, I wouldn't appreciate if someone came in here and said, are you having constant meditation? Are you in meditation? I wouldn't really find that very useful. I'm completely engaged in what I'm doing with all my focus, sometimes there's different kinds of work and there's different sort of things. And I'll stop, I'll jump on the rebounder for a bit, I'll have a little moment out of it, and I'll get the inspiration and come back. But when we're doing stuff, we need to really be there. And ultimately, it's the spiritual power within us that comes through. So meditation and our work are really become one and the same. It becomes an expression of our spirituality rather than something we need to escape from.
So
I really, really appreciate the question and all the answers Nick and Taylor gave. I'm absolutely spot on. So, I recommend you listen to all those things again because there's a lot of jewels there.
Yeah, and wouldn't you agree, Mike, that when you are absorbed in those moments, it's almost like when you're when you are absorbed, when you're kind of in a way you're out the way, like the Well, I think it's really worth just like just emphasizing this. You know, if the grasping, wanting, aspects of ourselves is not who we are, and it's kind of like you know, you're trying too hard or being overzealous. You know, you're reaching for something that we're under the illusion that we haven't got. It's almost like when you're out of the way, when you're absorbed in something, that you really receive the gift. So it's wonderful to be focused in your creativity and really, 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 really give it 100%.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I feel, you know, like just personal example today, doing this creating this thing, I feel as if, you know, there's been divine inspiration from my higher self and divine inspiration from God and blessings coming to me through the work, you know. It's not that I have to go somewhere else to get it. I feel like it's been coming through. And, you know, I've been on this all day long, and I feel loads of energy, super stoked, very excited. I'm up for doing more of it. I don't feel at all drained because the focus gives that level of joy, you know.
Yeah,
and focus and clarity. So yeah, I think that's a very, very good question. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
We've got quite a few other questions, so we just want to move forward a little bit. Question from Wendy here. I'm wanting to understand this fear that we have and how it stops us. In Nick's book, he quotes something from Marianne Williams. Yeah, it says, our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate, it's that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Can you help me understand this?
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, it's so different, the ego's perspective on reality compared to, you know, who we truly are. You know, let's just look at this for a moment. The ego's reality is based on materialism, the lie that, you know, we are a physical body, and that physical body needs to eat and, you know, have shelter and all the rest of it, and live in a physical material world. But when you really understand the nature of spiritual truth, that's not at all entirely the the way things are, and that is all based on a false sense of self and a lie, and the whole world is built on that lie. This material world, this modern civilization that we're watching dissolve now and, you know, fall to bits, is built on that lie, and that lie was taken to a very extreme. You know, an incredible extreme, so that we had all of this separation, this judgment against, you know, other people that spoke a different language, or even with a different dialect. The same language, but with a different accent. If you do any, you know, of your research in history in England, where Mike and I, you know, did most of our growing, you know, the wars between the counties were extraordinarily brutal. Yorkshire, Lancashire, you know, we're talking about two shires, very, very close to each other, but people speaking with a slightly different accent. And so this whole ego's lie has been taken to an absolute extreme. And so that the extremeness of that now has threatened, you know, the extinction of us all through this whole nuclear war possibility, the destruction of the world through our, you know, our disassociation from nature, which is a disassociation from our inner nature. And so this whole lie has been taken to an extreme, and now the consciousness that has been engaging in the lie, all the individual souls, are realizing through their pain and their suffering and their stress and frustration and all the rest of it that there's a better way. And so we're inching our way back to what? And that's what scares us, because it's the unknown. And it means we have to let go of all these things we're clinging to, all of these stories. You see? The ego loves his stories, and he's proud of his stories. We're proud of our traditions. If you come to where I grew up, it's roast beef and Yorkshire pudding every Sunday. Traditional English Sunday lunch. Nearly everyone in the whole country is having roast beef and Yorkshire pudding on a Sunday. You know, that's a tradition. We're proud of it. And they're going to the pub before it, and they're coming back and having a damn good feed and then passing out on the sofa. You know, these are traditions. Toast is a tradition. Tea is a tradition in England. And England is a master of traditions. You know, everybody starts crying when the national anthem starts being played. You know, all of these things. But they're all going because it's all nonsense. Just stories upon stories upon stories. And as they go, you know, it's scary because this is what we were clinging to. This is how we, you know, identified ourselves. I'm an English man. I do this. I do that. You know, I follow in my father's footsteps. This is what it means to be English and blah, 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 wherever you're from. You know, there's all these traditions and stories. The ego has layers and layers and layers of these lies, lies upon lies upon lies, all based on the false notion that I am someone that I'm not. And so as they get peeled away, yeah, it's scary because it's the great unknown. And that great unknown, the power in there is actually who you are. And you have to step across, you know, into that power, and it's like a void. You have to be very comfortable with darkness and silence, facing the content of your own psyche, facing the all of the buried and suppressed things in your subconscious and unconscious, which isn't just yours, it's all of humanity's. And so there's all of these monstrous vibrations in there with so much tremendous power of these archetypes. The whole thing has such tremendous depth and age to it. You know, just when we consider the possibility that, you know, the Mayan cycle is coming to an end in 2012, and that embraces 260,000 years. You know, when Howard Wills talks about the healings that goes into his prayers, when he's advising people to say healing prayers inside of themselves for their family, for the discordance and the negativity in their family lineage, in the ancestral lineage, he says that we all have several million years worth of karma inside of us, and it's negative because of just the number of years that it's possible to compute. When you think about these individuals in your family, your mother, father, grandfathers, grandparents, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, cousins, and all the rest of it, great, 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 greats, and all the way back. Each one of them, say they live for 50 years, you multiply that out, and that gets into millions of years of karma. So these are vast, vast depths of enormity in our subconscious and unconscious. And when the little conscious mind is caught in all of its stories and its false sense of self starts peeping into there, it's like looking over the edge of a very, 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 very high cliff with a lot of darkness below and some very strange noises emanating from it. And, you know, we don't want to go there. We want to go back to the couch and the toast, you know. We don't want to go there. So that's why it's scary, you know, because it is scary. But that's why courage is the first, you know, the primary requisite on the spiritual path. We have to be tremendously courageous to walk this path. Not so, Michael and Taylor.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Okay. So, got quite a few other questions. Let's just go on to one. This is a classic question, really good question here from Pargash from Brisbane. She's asking, I think your work is awesome. You guys are great personifications of your work. I do not want to wish to be provocative, but whilst listening to your video on getting grounded, I wondered to what extent this training allows a person to be him or herself, i.e. maintain one's own identity, as opposed to being part of speech marks, a cult, as it were. Please don't misunderstand me. I am coachable, but this thought passed through my mind. Much love, Pashi. Great question. Love it. I'll let Nick go off on this in a moment, but I just want to say, you know, like the whole point of this training and all the work that we do is that we believe that each one of us has our own individual best self, shall we say, which is completely individual and personal. So we're in by no means wanting anyone to be, you know, cloned and to become all the same at all. In fact, we want exactly the opposite. We want you all to be the best you can be in your own unique expression, and that is completely personal. I think the worst thing you can do is to try and put a one-size-fits-all situation. And I'm sure you can tell between Nick Taylor and myself, we're all very, very different. We agree on many things. We have some, you know, situations where we may have different opinions about things, but overall we're in alignment, we're in unity, but we're all very, very different at the same time. So absolutely not into trying to clone people and make you into one thing or another. And so I apologize if that's come across in some way. We may have to make that more clear, the fact that you had that question, but just so you know that we're into helping you ascend in your own way, whatever that happens to be for you, when you say Nick and Taylor.
Yeah, after you, Taylor, I feel we kind of covered that in that answer to Sebastian. What do you got to say?
Absolutely. That is the mission for everyone to become the unique expression that they are. And really, just all the superhero program is about is supporting you in being able to open more fully and allow that to come forth. Really nothing more than that. I mean, that's a lot, but that's the whole mission.
And the teachability index, what she quoted there was, you know, basically, how teachable are you? You know, what that teachability index basically says is that you show up with a maximum humility as if you know nothing at all. And that's not just us saying to you, you listen to what we've got to say as if you know nothing and we know it all. We practice the I'm extremely teachable. Taylor is extremely teachable. And Mike, I'd say, is a little less teachable. He's still very, very high. But that's because he's a yogi, you know, like the master freaking man. So, but what we're saying is you come empty, your cup gets filled, and then it's up to you how you express that. Because we're not telling you how to be in terms of, you know, how you should be. Mike says this all the time. We're not telling you how to live your life. We're asking you questions, and we're giving you guidelines for you to access power, genuine power, and we're sharing our experiences. But it's up to you to be you. There's no doubt about it. So I just want to say something about these questions. We got a long question here from Catch that I'm going to talk to you tomorrow, Catch, if you're listening right now, and I'm going to deal with this complex situation that you're in one-on-one in a personal call, and because it is very specific to you, and that's the best way to deal with this. We've got a few other questions that are much more general, And so we'll throw those out into the group, and you and I will deal with this subject matter one-on-one tomorrow. Over to you, Mike.
Yay. So let's have a look what else we got here. I'm going to click on the... All right. So we got Ashley. Yes, a lot of these things actually aren't questions. They're just blessings, which is lovely. Dorothy's got quite a few questions. One of the things she's asking is how to spell Nishjay. So I can read more about it. Well, you know, Nishjay, any of these Sanskrit words, there's no proper spelling for them, really, because they're in Sanskrit. It's a phonetic language. So, you know, type in how you think it's spelled. I would say what you've written already seems to be about the right spelling, the same as what we would use. And you can find what the Sanskrit term is and the definition and things like that. But just so you know, Sanskrit, there's never a proper, there's people arguing about what it should be all the time. So you're not going to find a definitive answer there, really.
Wonderful. So there's a question here from Dorothy about can breathing yoga cause the release of physical toxins, because she's experiencing ill feelings, the same things that occur when she's doing a herbal cleanse, mild detoxification systems like headache, nausea, and all the rest of it. Well, the short answer to it is absolutely yes. Just the orientation of your consciousness towards your own divinity is going to trigger a holistic personal transformation, purification, and the physical symptoms of that can manifest as detox symptoms, absolutely. Just the same as you can experience, upsurges of emotional patterns that you might thought you've dealt with for, years ago. Suddenly you find yourself being very jealous or angry or whatever it is, and you haven't experienced those emotions for a long time. Of course, this is going to happen. You're breathing in. You're orienting your mind towards the most powerful, force energy in the universe, the source of all life. So of course it's going to, drive out the dead vibrations and the slow vibrations, the density and the toxicity. Of course it's going to do that. So, we can anticipate that this is actually going to be happening, not necessarily physically, but definitely physically. You can be experiencing all kinds of aches and pains as well. A long time ago, when I was in France, I remember me and my friend Paige, we were having all these crazy adventures, and we were just like bursting out of our skins with aliveness, and we both thought we were having heart attacks for a while, and then we just it just got so ridiculous because we were still able to do all these fantastic stunts that it was obvious that we weren't having heart attacks, but something else was going on. So we just put it down as, our hearts were opening and that these were ascension symptoms. So just about everything that occurs in my life, I just put it down to an ascension symptom. And there's lots of that going on these days.
Okay. So let's see what else we got here. Questions. Oh yeah, we got another one from Pashi again. I'm in a bit of a quandary about letting go of relationships that don't really serve us. A part of me says that being spiritually enlightened means to be open to all possibilities and hence being accepting of people in my life who irk me or have the potential of draining my energy. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Very good question. Do you guys want to say anything on that first?
Hi, Yvonne.
Yes. Well, I'm all for letting go of relationships that do not serve you. And I'm all for finding ways to evolve relationships that are in service of you. And so for me, it really comes down to a question of what gives you joy? What is really in support of who you are in your path of light and your path of evolution? And usually you know that. You just kind of know it. Even if the person irks you or, you know, there's all kinds of habits you'd like to see change, there's some fundamental sense that this is you're going to go through this together. You're going to go through the eye of the needle, whatever that is, maybe that with the intention that it shift, or just because you know this is who you're meant to be with and this is what there is to work through. You know, they say that intimate relationships are the biggest space of spiritual growth. So in that way, they are. But at the same time, you have to really look at are you compromising in any way? Is it inconsistent with who you are truly to be in this relationship? Does this relationship serve to support you in your path and vice versa? And usually you can easily see that these things are not enigmas. You know. And when you tell the truth about the relationship, the truth will set you free. It'll be clear. It'll be clear that, yes, it's time to let this go, or, you know, I'm in it and I'm going to work through this and whatever is on the other end of it, we'll discover, but this is clearly what is up for me right now with this other individual and vice versa. And so, you know, it sounds to me like it's time for you to really tell the truth about what is happening in the relationship, to get into communication with the individual if you aren't, and find out what it is that they're in relationship with you for, and vice versa. And it'll become apparent in that conversation if it's a really heartfelt, honest, true conversation from the heart, what is appropriate to the situation. But definitely, I am not one for staying in a relationship just because spiritual enlightened beings should be able to work through anything, no matter how awful it is. You know, we aren't here for that at all. You know, we're here to really enjoy the opportunity and the growth and evolution that's there in the relationship. And so I would suggest just really getting clear on that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, I was just thinking, if I tried to stay with all the relationships I had years and years ago, there's not a chance I would have got where I am in my life today. Not a chance. No way. Because it's by saying no to one thing that we say yes to another thing. So if I had carried on the way I was, I would have said no to all the people I know now who I probably would not have met at all, because I was stuck in other things. When I said no to those old relationships that didn't serve me anymore, I opened the door to all kinds of new relationships and new opportunities and a new future for myself.
Yeah.
And that simply would not have happened if I'd said yes to all that old stuff. It just would not have happened. So we need to say no and close the doors to things that don't work and open doors to things that are going to get us where we want to go. That's what life's all about.
Yeah, I will also just add to that every single relationship has a divine role and purpose in our life, and for us to be able to see it as such, to be able to see what we did learn and why we are in that relationship and how it is perfect. It served a perfect space of evolution for wherever we were and they were at that time, and it feels like that is complete. It's time to let go and move on. And that's the key, is not seeing as like, whoa, how, what happened here? How did I ever get involved in such a mess? What was I thinking? But rather really be able to be in appreciation and gratitude and see it for the gift that it was in your life. And sometimes it takes getting out of it before we can see that. But But at some point it becomes very apparent, like Michael's saying, that, wow, that was the perfect stepping stone. I learned so much from that relationship to go into this next relationship. It was so ideal. What a gift. What a true and perfect gift. I couldn't have designed it any more perfectly if I had tried.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to have courage. You know, you have to have courage. I was just reflecting on my life. I've been, I've left so many situations in my life where, you know, because I did a lot of international traveling when I was much younger, and you know, I'd go to a country, make all these friends, have a girlfriend, really nice place, get a little business going, being really successful, and then I just feel. I remember one time when I left New Zealand, I was absolutely at the peak of my success. I mean, I was having a great time, a dream life. And I had the call. I was feeling the call to go to Sydney. And I went to Sydney. I left New Zealand living in a fabulous place with a beautiful girlfriend who I was really into. I had no problems in my relationship with her. And also, I was very, very, very successful in my modeling career over there. I was like the top guy in the country at the time with all the work that I was getting. And I had other little businesses going as well, and I was having a blast, absolute blast. I love my friends and everything. But I just had the gut feeling I was being called to leave it and go to Sydney. And I left. Luxury and comfort and love and security and friendship and really good times, and I left it all and went to live in a dump, an absolute dump in Marrickville, in the centre of Sydney, which is one of the inner suburbs. It's like full of slums, and it's a complete dump of a place. And the first job I got was actually working on garbage trucks, running, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning in the pouring rain usually, because I was a replacement for the regular workers and they didn't like to work when it was raining. And I'd run a mile and a half down to the depot, jump on the back of a garbage truck and go out and run the streets of Sydney until about 10 o'clock in the morning, loading up trash. Garbage trucks into the back of this thing, being stinking shit, but my heart and soul were rejoicing, and I can remember the joy that I was experiencing. Those were some of the happiest mornings of my life. But on the surface, you know, if anyone with like a logical analysis of that situation would be going, "What is this guy on? You know, what are you doing, mate?" You know, but I was just following the call, and I've always had the courage to do that. And very often, you know, if you leave situations, you're going into the unknown, and very often the direction, it can momentarily take you what appears to be materially down. You know, what archetypally and mythologically is called the descent into ashes and grief. Where something dies, you know, the old world, the old relationships, the old way of relating, the old view dies, and you have to grieve that a little while, and then a new you is reborn from that. And I've done that many, many times over in my life, not just once. I've done it many times, and I've broken my heart and the people and many other people's hearts as well while I've been doing it. But I realized really early on that it was a very good thing to do. I was just, you know, I guess blessed with the, you know, a spirit of adventure or the courage to do these things. So I really agree with both what Mike and Taylor were saying, but, you know, like Taylor was saying, you have to have sensitivity and really sense when it's the time to, you know, to leave situations, because it's not always when it gets difficult or whatever, but that it's time to leave. I remember I did one-on-one training out here in Hawaii. Somebody came a few years ago and stayed with me, and she was married to, you know, a wealthy guy and blah, 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 and they weren't happy. She was over here and basically on a soul searching mission, and she was like really excited about, you know, getting to the next phase of her life. And I actually encouraged her to, you know, to leave and to get into it, you know, to really come into herself and, you know, start, you know, expressing her own way. And I took her to see Howard Wills, and he was absolutely the opposite to me. He told her to get her ass back to that guy and start, you know, really serving him and pampering him and pampering to his needs, and really shocked me in the advice that he was giving her and the way he gave it to her. Very, very shocking it was for me at the time. But at the end of that experience, and she only saw Howard for an afternoon or so, she did go back to that guy. And now she's, you know, several years on, you know, she looks like she's, you know, really happy and thriving and doing really, really well. So they obviously work through it, you know. So whether you leave a relationship or you stay in a relationship, I think the most important thing is that you're prepared to leave, absolutely prepared to end it all and strike out on your own. And it might not be that that's what you're being called to do, but if you're 100% ready and willing to do it, that's the thing, that's the most important thing. And many, many, many women in the world are terrified at leaving situations they're in, no matter how dreadful they are. Women that are getting beaten, you know, by drunken men and in abusive relationships, domestic violence and whatsoever, they're stuck there in these sad places, and they're looking out at night across a city landscape, and they have no one to go to, nowhere to go to, and they're just terrified. And so they stay with the familiar, you see, and they have miserable, miserable experiences. So you have to be ready to leave, courage to leave, whatever the relationship is, whoever it's with, and, you know, be really up for it. And then you may or may not have to do that.
Yeah, and I have to just echo what you're saying, because I talk to those women, and they may not even be in an abusive relationship, but it's a strong pattern of fear that keeps women in relationships where they are not happy, they aren't fulfilling themselves, and that they say, you know, over and over again, well, something is better than nothing. And in this case, and in every single one of those cases, I argue the exact opposite, that it would be better to have nothing. Like Nick is saying, you know, go work on the garbage truck. In every single case, that is the highest path of joy, every single one of those cases. And, you know, and when the women do take the leap of faith and courage, they never regret it. They never regret it. And so I just wanted to really underscore that, because there is this sort of sense of just being comfortable, even if it isn't the very best thing. And, well, really, is there a very best thing? And is this, you know, white knight on a shine horse really even real? And I should just settle for this. And settling for anything is a death sentence of the soul.
Yeah.
That doesn't truly serve you and give you joy.
Yeah. And we've all taken risks. Mike's taken risks. I've taken risks. Taylor's taken risks.
Got to do it.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So, I just wanted to say something quickly. That sister you're talking about, Nick, she left him, by the way. I talked to her recently.
Oh, she did?
She's now, yeah, she left him very quickly afterwards.
Oh, wonderful.
And she's stoked. I had a chat with her. I was just inspired to call her up. Yeah, she left it. She's making her own raw chocolates and doing her own thing. She took a big loss financially, but she's pulled it off, and she's having the best day ever, and she's stoked.
Oh, there you go. Wonderful. Thanks, bro. So have a look at some more questions here, Mike, and I'm just going to answer this one about the breathing from Dorothy. Dorothy wants to know some details about the breathing yoga training. And you basically which orifice to breathe in and how to breathe in it. So, you know, really, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day, because it's just sort of a natural process. But while you're starting out, breathing in through the nose, and out through the mouth seems to be a very, you know, natural way of doing things. Breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. In through the nose and out through the mouth, Dorothy. But the main thing is the orientation of your consciousness and, you know, where your mind is, how focused you are, and, you know, what the quality of your heart space is. That's the main thing. And then just a quick, another follow-up question from Dorothy on the same thing. She's asking how much of this, the 98% unused portion of her DNA can she expect to activate from this training? In case anyone's unfamiliar with this, these studies that were done into DNA from Stanford University in the early 80s, what they found was that we were only using 2% of the available energy, the genetic potential in our DNA, and 98% of it was therefore classified as junk DNA because it had no known function in what was termed the normal waking state. So the normal waking state that people in California were in while they're buzzing around on the freeways and wondering what to eat and how to get from A to B and what to buy next and all the rest of it. And the state they were in, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, only allowed them to activate, experience 2% of their energy potential that scientists could observe and quantify in the cellular structure. So the same scientists started fiddling around with it and hitting it with certain vibrations and frequencies. And they found that a specific vibration and frequency activated the dormant potential, changed, literally changed the genetic coding sequences, the way certain alkaline chemicals were ordered and patterned in the cell. It would literally change those orders, those patterns, and this energy potential would flow into the cell. And so the cell would glow with a brighter light and would become more alive. Those vibratory states translate in our language to feelings and the orientation of your mind. So that's why we place a great emphasis on the orientation of your awareness and your attitude. Your awareness and your attitude. You're going to hear us talk about this over and over and over and over, especially in the early days of this training. And the breath and the focus of the breath, the orientation of your mind towards your own divinity, towards your own divine natural awareness, DNA, your own divine natural awareness. So you orient your mind in that direction, and the feelings of love and gratitude that we encourage you to have, and that's why the forgiveness prayers and the Ho'oponopono practices are so important, so that you can experience love and gratitude in your subconscious and unconscious mind. That allows yourself to be bathed in the optimal vibrations so that all of this potential flows through. So hypothetically speaking, Dorothy, and this is a process, but you should be able to activate all of your potential in your DNA as long as your attitude and awareness is conducive to doing that, and you can stay in this state. You can remember to get yourself back into it if you start to drift from it. But there's so many stress triggers in the world, and also your psyche is also wired into everybody else's consciousness, that, you know, the world has to shift a little bit in terms of that certain percentage of individuals that I was talking about before waking up and getting on the program as well to support us in this thing. And as we're doing it, we're like the pioneers of this right now, and as we do it more and more and more, you know, it's like helping others to shift. So that's why it's a little challenging for everybody at the moment, because there's so few people really getting switched on. You know, we only have a small handful of superheroes in the world compared to, you know, everybody else at the moment. But those numbers are growing all of the time, and as they do, it should be, hypothetically, it should be easier for us to, you know, to catch these feelings and exist in these states of consciousness, because the collective consciousness, the underpinning is there as more and more people join us. So just do your best and look forward to it all being activated. And, yeah, just keep your attitude and your awareness doing it and breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth and staying soul conscious and just practice and enjoy the ride.
Great. So we've got another question from Martin.
You know, I just wanted to add a little something to that DNA talk there. One of the things I've really been watching and discovering is the enormous amount of support from the invisible realms for activating our DNA to levels beyond what we can even talk about or scientists could even measure and track or even have words or language to describe. And you know, DNA is just an energetic signature. It's a life force signature. And there's a great deal of support from the invisible realms to shift if people are a request and a desire and activate these higher levels of awareness and consciousness and support structures, which is what the DNA serves to be, instantaneously and without any effort whatsoever. And so I just want to add that as another place to go to for, you know, in your vision and in your request for support, because there's just so much support for that now, and the level of attunement and alignment and upgrades that it can occur, not just with the DNA, but all the cells in our body and all of our glands and all of our systems, circulatory, nervous, all of these things, which are just all energy and light, can easily be fed, infused, nurtured, and upgraded instantaneously with this level of invisible support, if you so desire. And the more people that kind of tap into that and open to that, the more you'll experience that. And it really is just a matter of desire.
Yes, powerful. Absolutely amazing what we're capable of. And, you know, expect to freak out a little bit because you're going to experience new things that you've never experienced before, and you won't know what to make of it. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah, and it's time for us to be able to imagine beyond what we have thought of ever before.
Yeah.
To really free our imaginations to seeing ourselves, these structures that we've imagined ourselves to be, and scientists say we are, as mutable, changeable, and really completely dictated by not only our desire, but what we can envision and imagine for ourselves. These are the real tools of the future, is our imagination.
Absolutely.
And these are miraculous times. There's very small veils between us and every fantastic, amazing, miraculous possibility we could ever consider.
Yeah.
And I really encourage us to begin to break out and be out there as pioneering those thought patterns, those structures, because that's all it comes down to. You know, Steve Jobs, he just came up with, you know, the iPhone because he made it up, because he envisioned, wow, I'd like to have something like this, and voila. And we can do the same things with our bodies, with our minds, with every single component that we know to be whatever it is, can be something completely and totally something else.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. I was just about to say that when the phone went quiet, I was just going to like just blast in there about the imagination, and you started talking about it. But Einstein said the imagination is more important than knowledge. That was Einstein that said imagination is more important than knowledge. So think about that for a moment. Imagination is our bridge into the archetypal realm. It's the bridge into the power of the soul. And you can, we encourage you absolutely 100% to be extremely active with your imaginations all of the time, even when you're doing the most mundane stuff. Because the imagination is you're building your future with your imagination. You're creating your future with your mind. You're defining the nature of your reality with your mind all of the time. So, for instance, this morning, one of the many things I've done this morning since the early hours, one of the many things was driving down about 15 miles, 10 miles down to Papa, and going and picking up my chainsaw, which I had professionally sharpened so that I could get on with taking out some weed trees around here and with the landscaping. So I cruised down to the chainsaw place, and the guys who work at the chainsaw place are very big, rough, hairy local boys, meat eaters and tough guys, and beer drinkers, and they just that's what it is. They look at the chainsaw place. Now, they're sweethearts, super sweet guys. I've got a really good connection with them. Now, when I was with them, with these guys, and we were talking about the chainsaw and everything, the way I was using my imagination, which is the way I use my imagination almost all the time anyway, is seeing myself as a cosmic being. And everything, I just maintain a constant cosmic consciousness. So I'm literally, in my mind, I'm part of the stars and part of the cosmos and this little event that's going on here in Kapala, fetching the chainsaw, is, in my mind and my awareness, it's just part of this great cosmic ocean of life. And I'm really well aware of that. So I'm really feeling that, the cosmic nature of things. And so I look at these guys in this way. And so for me, this is just a little stop in Kapaha on this little planet Earth, amongst, this great journey and traveling and adventuring that I do around the cosmos. And that's how I imagine. That's how I use my imagination. So my energy is my aura, my power is supercharged with cosmic consciousness all the time. But it's also when I'm picking up my chainsaw, and when I'm doing chainsawing, or when I'm digging a hole, or when I'm making a film for someone, or when I'm doing consultancy and stuff, or when I'm cleaning the bathroom, or when I'm changing the oil on my car. You use your imagination in a very powerful and dynamic way, but you stay grounded in the world and be absolutely 100%, show up for what you're doing and what needs to be done right in front of you. That's the way to combine the things. And then you're really bridging in. You're really bridging in from where you are at this point into, pulling the future towards you. That is, possibly way more dynamic and amazing than that.
Yeah, Sleepy Hero Training is all about waking up and experiencing all this newness. It's interesting that 98% of the world, of the DNA supposedly, has not been activated, and it's also true, according to Napoleon Hill, that 98% of the world also don't think for themselves.
Yeah.
98% don't think for themselves, and 98% of the DNA is inactive. It's just interesting synchronicity there with the numbers. And, yeah, so basically the main thing is you start having original thoughts in your mind. Most people think the same things every day, same old nonsense, and so, of course, they're stuck in it. But we have to see things. And I personally find that just by being in the silence, when I go into silence, all of a sudden I get all these amazing ideas and new experiences, because I've gone back to zero. I don't know anything, I don't have any concept of anything, and then all this newness arrives. That to me is what being teachable is when you go back to zero, where you actually experience being nothing, not knowing anything, then we see things fresh, And that's when the original ideas come. So, yes, wonderful. So, yeah, we've got a few other questions. Let's just get to these so we don't miss anyone. One from Martin here. Martin's got a lovely question for us. I often find that when I'm attempting to help people, it gets to a point where it feels I'm trying to give them a problem so I can be the hero and fix it, dot, dot, dot. Interesting question. Interesting comment. Yeah, I think we need to stop doing that. That's the classic, you know, victim and, you know, the knight in shining armor situation where you actually need people to be victims in order for you to feel good about yourself. That's not at all healthy. And a lot of people suffer from that. A lot of coaches suffer from it. A lot of people teaching others suffer from that issue, because if there's no one who needs help, then their whole life is a mess and their whole life falls apart because they've got no substance to them if they're not helping others. They create problems. But that, you know, that's definitely not the way to go. The main focus for us as superheroes is work on ourselves and really look at ourselves. And then when people come to us with something that they need help with and we have something to give, then we can deliver it. But you don't go out of your way to try and solve people's problems, because there's enough people around asking for help. So, you know, work on yourself. And then when situations arise and there's a need, then you can show up. But don't go around creating it. But it's very, very interesting that happens. And I think we all do it to one degree or another.
If we're
not careful. Just.
Yeah, stay humble and just be human. You know, just be human and meet people where they're at. Like the best teachers are the best students, always, consistently. And the ones that set themselves up as gurus and, you know, on a little pedestal, just setting themselves up for a fall. And it's sad to see. And it's becoming less and less now, but years ago, when I remember when I first went to New Zealand and sort of New Age healers were evolving, everyone was a healer, and they couldn't wait to heal you. And we're just clamoring all over to heal you. But I soon realized that all of these people, you know, they were extremely dysfunctional. And there was a time when, you know, you could guarantee anyone who was saying they were a healer was extremely dysfunctional. So, it's being humble and just like Mike was saying, when it's time for you to give your gift, give it. And if you're the real deal, you've got it to give. But it's like we're all a team. And we play the game as a team, and no one single player in the team, you know, can be, you know, running with the ball all the time. We have to pass the ball, we have to take it in turns, and it's great to just be able to disengage. I love not having to give advice, love not having to, like, be the flipping powerhouse or the, you know, the whatever, you know, leader and whatever. I just absolutely love it. Just being able to be inconspicuous and just sit down and enjoy and, you know, eat some food and share some food or whatever and some chit-chat. It's a beautiful time. So just really, you know, be comfortable with being incognito. And they're the most powerful ones anyway, as you evolve and grow and travel, especially when you travel, you realize that the most powerful people are the simplest and the most humble, down-to-earth people. And they have the most to give, and we all take it in turns. So you might be able to give someone some really good advice about their relationships, for example. But then if your washing machine breaks down, you've got no idea how to fix it, and they might be the man. They can absolutely fix your washing machine, no problem at all. But if you're trying to be the man in that situation, then you're going to look a little embarrassed. So, there's a little story there to illustrate that point.
Yeah, I remember actually taking 2 years off trying to help anyone on purpose, just to work on myself and not being that what can be a false sense of security of, you know, being the healer, you know. A lot of people don't look at, I've seen this again and again and again, by the way, in the spiritual communities, that as soon as you pull away the service that people are doing, they fall to pieces, because their whole life is based on giving. So, you know, I think it's good just inside each of us just to really see how much we're, you know, teaching ourselves and learning things personally compared to, you know, always looking on the outside. I think all of us can look at that, and it's an ongoing process.
Absolutely.
So I think that's all we got for our wonderful questions, unless anyone else has anything.
Vision, you see that one about the vision board?
Have we got another one?
There was one to you specifically about the vision board.
Oh, really? Okay, let me see. I must have missed that one.
From Dorothy.
Okay. So, all right, here we go. In the vision board, Michael discussed service to others being an essential component. It's so funny, we were just talking about this. To our total vision, without which true happiness is not possible. How, for many mothers, this simply translates into taking care of one's family. Is this an adequate vision of service to others, or does service to others require going beyond that, which is something we do in our role in life as homemakers? Regardless of whether or not we are thinking in terms of service to others. Is sticking strictly to serving our families shortchanging ourselves in receiving the benefits or happiness to be gained from engaging in selfless service to others? Do we need to provide service beyond that in which we would normally provide during the course to scope our daily routine, even if we were not envisioning providing service to others? Well, you know, to be honest, like we were saying just a moment ago, the biggest service, in all honesty, all service comes from our stage, from our state of consciousness. So we can't give what we haven't got. That's why a lot of people burn out. That's why there's lots of weird stuff going on that isn't service, because people haven't worked on themselves sufficiently.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest service is working on ourselves and just being in a high space and staying in that high state, because you can't help but affect the world that way. If more people just focused on being in a high space and not on trying to save the world, it would actually change and save the world faster. But nonetheless, we, you know, of course, we have gifts to share and we have wonderful things to offer. So I would say to mothers specifically that, you know, if you can raise a child in the most conscious way and you can be a good example to your child or to your children, that is huge, huge, huge service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I was a mother, I would make sure that I did a really good job of looking after the kids, and that I actually was in a good space, because children learn not through what you say to them, but through what you are like.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest problem parents have is not the training they're giving them, it's the fact that the parents are screwed up and are all over the place and are just bad role models.
Mm-hmm.
So as a mother, you need to be a really good role model to the children and really look after yourself and really be in a high space and be an embodiment of love and really do that work on yourself. And, you know, if you have time left over that is genuinely there and there is time available, then absolutely, you know, share your gifts in other ways and do various projects and et cetera. Absolutely, 100% go for that if there's time. But if there isn't, I wouldn't compromise it, you know, because then your children are getting a bad message. Then the work that you do is compromised. The whole thing becomes messy and mixed up, and it's not really necessary service to anyone.
Yeah, I remember from being on the travels, staying at people's places, healers, quote-unquote, healers' houses, with raising a family as well, place an absolute mess because they're so busy healing, you know, healing with their healing work, quote-unquote, that, you know, things are getting neglected, they're exhausted, and then, you know, it's time to, you know, make some food for the children and all the rest of it, and they're a bit crabby because they're overworked and all the rest of it. If there's nothing selfish about raising the family in a conscious way, it's probably the most important thing to do on the face of the earth. So what Mike was saying, your vibrations are going out affecting all of us all of the time. And family is, you know, it's a wonderful, wonderful crucible for growth. And we love the mothers. You know, we, goodness me, the mothers are they're the backbone of the world. There's so much compassion naturally flowing through mothers. That, you know, it's probably you know, a foundation for so much goodness in our civilization. So yeah, go for it. But just really nurture yourself and make sure you're on those higher levels of consciousness, and your children are going to pick it up like sponges. And like Ma was saying, that what they learn and absorb mostly invisible, silent communication anyway. So just your vibration is going to make a huge difference there.
Yeah, I just want to add to that, you know, I feel that mothers are the ultimate in selfless service when it comes from the heart and love. That there's no greater example of selfless service than that space. And if that's who you're being in raising your children and really enjoying it and enjoying them, then you don't need to do anything else. It really is what will shift everything, is the core relationship in the family. It's what that being missing is what results in so many other everywhere else dysfunctionalities, and so that is the greatest gift you can give of service to the whole, by just having your family be thriving, loving, and just be in joy. That's just the biggest gift ever. The biggest gift ever.
Yay. So I'm going to answer the question. Very good question. We really love your questions, you guys. You asked some excellent questions. So unless there's anything else, let's have a look. We totally are here for you. You know, just keep asking us questions. We'd love to get them in advance. And we have lots of people on the training and not that many questions from different people for some reason, so I'm not sure what that's all about, but you're all welcome to ask questions, and we always love it. So hope none of you are inspired and are shy or whatever the reason is, but go for it.
I suspect I might take a guess at the reason.
All right, then.
I can pretend like I'm a participant. And I would say that the participants that are asking questions are doing such darn good jobs of asking questions that it's covering, and the answers cover such a myriad of possible other questions that just they're acting for the whole, and much of what they're asking gets answered for the whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right, actually, because we do end up covering a huge array of
huge.
Although
I do have one question I just have to say out of this little chat tonight, and that is, how big of a rock were you carrying, Nick?
It was about, I don't know, maybe 10 pounds, just like a, you know, a heavy, heavy thing for one hand, carrying one hand with a load of shopping in the other or something like that. Yeah, it was you know, just slightly uncomfortable. Yeah, and it had some pretty birds and flowers painted on it. It was very nice.
Wow.
Everyone's eye, and I carried it for about a year.
Oh, boy. Nick.
Essential.
You know, here, Nick, I really want to encourage you to start to write a book. The new book I want is like all these vignettes, you know, the chainsaw stories, the rock. I mean, this is the next book for you. I'm
yeah,
sure
well,
everyone would agree. Everyone would agree listening.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to say, I just want to finish with that it is an incredible time right now. And the opportunities that are presenting themselves are absolutely extraordinary. And there's an unmistakable certainty of being connected, of being lifted up, of being illuminated, of being energized, of activating your higher faculties, of more and more that 98% being turned on. Absolutely unmistakable, undeniable, and very, very, very obvious to yourself. If you do the work, if you dissolve what's preventing you from What's holding you back? If you work with the forgiveness, the Ho'oponopono, the forgiveness prayers, if you improve your self-image, if you get up early and do the work, if you change your diet, if you do the things that make the difference. If you don't do it, you're going to feel stagnant, or nothing's really working, or life's a drag, or blah, blah, blah. You know, the world's going to hell, and, you know, it's dragging me down with it. Everything's depressing. People doing this, people doing that. If you're not, if your life isn't really, really, really communicating back to you that it is a wonderful, amazing time to be alive, then there's only one reason why it's not communicating that, and that's because you are still blocked. You're still hanging on to things. You're still stuck in old patterns and ways of being that are creating that friction and that stress and that chaos and all the rest of it. But if you really get the bull by the horns and really honestly have a good go at it, and right now we're coming into that period in the training where we're drawing a line under everything that's gone before, and we're going, okay, right, this is it. We're really going to have a put all of this into practice in a courageous and dynamic and definite way. You know, this is the time to really review and check out what's not serving anymore, and just start making the moves to dissolve it, let it go, and leave it behind you forever. Because this is such a wonderful time to be alive.
Yeah, it's like I've been experiencing things beyond. I always experience beautiful things, but it's just getting better and better and better. And what I thought was the best ever, it isn't anymore. And there's a new best ever. And so. It's so amazing what is possible. You know, I'm just becoming more and more aware that what is possible for us as a human experience, as a divine experience, is just off the charts. And we have to open ourselves to being able to experience things that we have no idea about, and really use the imagination and just surrender, because these things are changing, and I really feel everything needs to be remarkable and wonderful for us nowadays, and all this old stuff is done, so let's just get rid of it, have that determination, and be open to this new stuff, because it's a beautiful, 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 beautiful time we're living in.
Beautiful. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I just want to add that, you know, this week coming up, this week of Thanksgiving, is a really, you know, a lot of people are traveling, getting together with family. It's such a huge opportunity to seize the essence of the holiday and be superheroes in your family, in your community, and offer up that gratitude. Be a living example of being gracious and being in gratitude, and look toward these opportunities of coming together in these family gatherings and units to really rewrite the history of your family, rewrite what the stories of your family are, what you know, who you know them to be, and all that stuff. Nick was, you know, referring to, you know, millions of years of karma, you know. I mean, that can all literally be transformed in an instant. And everyone has the capacity to do that, and that's what the marvel of these times are all about. And I just really encourage everyone to look toward holidays as opportunities in the family structures to cause that type of revolution and evolution.
Yeah, and you can do that in a very gentle way as well. From my experiences, you don't have to go in there and rock the boat and try and tip everything upside down. You can do it in a very silent, humble way, just by helping with the washing up and not getting into confrontation, and just being, you know, just being loving and kind, and rubbing your mum's back or whatever it is, you know, doing what needs to be done. But in holding that stage inside of your own mind, that level of consciousness and that outflow of love pouring out, and you can be extremely effective silently. And I definitely experienced that, because I used to really lock horns and have dreadful confrontations with my father, with my mother, with my brother, because they were so not into my direction, the way I was going, who I was becoming, and all the rest of it. And I realized after a few years that the best thing for me to do was to just be quiet and just radiate good energy and good vibrations, to hold them in a very high light of consciousness, because often what these old folks are playing out, if they're stuck in these traditional ways, they're just patterns. It's nothing to do with who they actually are. It's just a pattern that the physical body and the ego is caught in and is animating. And if you are in body consciousness and you are, and stuck in the drama, then you're going to be reacting to that and getting into confrontation with that. So better you're out of that in your own mind and your heart, and you're just radiating love and seeing them as the divine beings that they are, as the great souls that they are, and just joining in with the fun and meeting them where they're at and just helping, and you'll find you'll have a lovely, lovely time.
Yeah, find the similarities, find the things that you can agree on, and really enjoy those experiences. Then you create harmony. Yay! Have the best Thanksgiving ever. It's a beautiful time. Deeply grateful for everything in our life. Any last words, anyone? Taylor, would you like to share anything?
Taylor's gone beyond, bro.
He's gone beyond.
You can do the closing prayer, Brother Michael.
Yeah.
Reverend Michael McIntosh. Let's hear the closing prayer.
So let's just close our eyes and look up. Take a few gentle breaths. And just remember that we are eternal beings. Everything we've shared so far is experienced on deep levels and is going to be useful to us. And we're interested in how it's going to be useful and how we're going to change our lives. So as we are all here together right now, we just open our hearts and minds to this beautiful energy of love that comes from on high, beautiful golden rays. And we ask that this being of love and light shower us with this eternal sweet light, peace. And allow this beautiful light to guide us, to nourish us, and to allow us to shine and to smile deeply from our heart. As we surrender and open to new possibilities, new beautiful experiences, and trust that these new experiences of love and gratitude and grace and pure peace are so amazing that anything that came before is irrelevant. And so we ask this beautiful light that we can all truly and deeply open to these new experiences from this moment onwards, and to notice how many beautiful experiences we are having in our lives from now, from moment to moment to moment, as we carry each moment forward, moment to moment to moment, breathing in that grace and just holding that 1 second at a time. So just smiling now for a few beautiful breaths, a few beautiful moments, golden moments. And we're just allowing that light to flow through us. Giving thanks So thank you everyone for being here, and may you have the best Thanksgiving ever. Just hold that vision of sharing love with your families, smiling and shining.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Yay.
Love you guys.
Love you.
Love you.
All right. Lots of love. See you.
Love.
Lots of love. Love.
See you soon.
Aloha.
Aloha.